Michelle and Mardell.
Yeah, and you know, I just said the other day, we need some heat for our gardens. And it looks like, feels like we're going to get it today.
Oh my goodness. And thunderstorms. They're predicting thunderstorms. Yeah. Holy moly.
This is the perfect thing for gardening. You have lots of nice rain, everything's moist, and now we need the heat to make those plants say, okay, I'm ready to go. So, cool. So, and before we get started, I wanted to just emphasize what you just read, Joni, about the Higher Ground Program for you Skagweed. We talked a couple weeks ago, the Garden Conversation talked about all of the opportunities here in Haines, which there's a bunch, which was really cool to hear about. And we neglected to mention the one here in Skagway, the Higher Ground, with raised beds for seniors and people with special needs. So take advantage of that. And also, I'll put a plug in to say, you Skagway people, feel free to send us questions. And if Skagway is a completely, maybe not completely, it's a pretty different climate for gardening, but we can figure it out. I've got resources over there that we can get questions answered. So
they feel have free. Their gardening page on Facebook too.
Oh, they do.
Okay. And yeah, there's less snow over there, so maybe their season's little bit earlier than ours.
And they deal with wind, and it's slightly different, but you know, it's not so different that we can't answer questions. So, So before we get to some of those questions, when I have a person on air with me, I like to tap into their expertise. And Michelle's expertise is she lives in a place where gardening, I would say gardening is difficult. It's unique. She lives across the bay and she lives on a rocky shore, basically. And so I asked her the question. I said, so what do you do different than other people? And what have you learned how to cope with the advantages and disadvantages of your situation? So do you have anything to say about that, Michelle?
Oh, I could talk for hours on that. Yeah. Yeah, I live across Mud Bay. My garden is on the beach, and over the years, the garden soil has had to be actually built from scratch, using seaweed and compost and forest duff if we need to, old logs, that kind of thing.
And you've put it into raised beds then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The garden I inherited when we bought the place was in ground, and I've been converting it into raised beds. Uh-huh. And yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's definitely what we have to do. And so you can't bring amendments there very easily. There's no road. And so we actually weigh every purchase, literally, carefully, you know, because we have to carry it in a backpack or we get it around in a boat if the tide's right and there's no wind.
So it's easy to figure out your percentages of what you want to add and everything because you know exactly what you have.
Yes. So, so we do all that. That plus the fact that it's, you know, I get a lot of great morning sun, but it's shaded in the afternoon. Because we're right on the edge of the woods.
What about wind? Do you get a lot of wind?
The wind, we get the south wind, but not really the north wind. Yeah, because of the angle of our beach. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, I definitely do. I put up windscreens. I have some.
Out of what?
I have some old plastic squares that look like window panes that I inherited with the property. And they're perfect. I just slide them in between the soil and the side of the raised bed, and it's clear.
And so it gets the sun, it gets the light, but it blocks the wind.
It works really nicely. And then what else do I do?
You have a greenhouse?
I do have a greenhouse. It's small. It's a small one, so it's kind of a hobby size greenhouse. So I just have tomatoes and, you know, a couple of things in there. I try squashes and zucchinis in there because a lot of times I just don't get enough heat because of not having the afternoon sun.
Yeah. So that's probably similar to the rest of us in that we are greenhouses for tomatoes and cucumbers and that sort of thing.
But, you know, I do have an advantage. I do see whales while I'm not gardening.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's right.
And sometimes the seaweed does wash up on the shore, and we can use that.
That's right. That's handy. I mean, I have to drive 40 miles to get my seaweed. There's advantages and disadvantages to every one of us where we have our growing space. So, well, cool. So, mm-hmm. Well, thanks. That's yeah. I think you've done very well to do as much gardening as you do and mm-hmm. providing your own food in the situation you're in. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's always a refuge to get out in that garden.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, yeah.
So you kind of have a breezy air. Is kind of breezy there usually?
It can be.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking that would be nice to keep the bugs away.
There is that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. Yeah, but I'm not getting a tan in the garden either. So, yeah. So okay. I guess we have a couple questions
we do.
Today.
Yep.
Okay. Our first question is... literally, arg, the part of gardening I hate the most is weed pulling. Can't I just plant crops that just take care of themselves?
Well, my experience shows that doesn't work very well. There are some crops that are more sensitive to weed pulling, that's for sure. For example, onions, you don't really want to get them crowded. One of the reasons is that they have a very shallow root system. And so if they are competing for light as well as the nutrients and the water that's in the top level of soil, they're not going to do very well. So onions are one thing that you want to have cleaned out. And carrots also are good to have cleaned out. But I have found any plant is going to do better if they have some space. Now, there's some schools of thought that, like, living mulches is when you have plants that basically cover the ground everywhere except for that stem or whatnot. My experience with those is not very good, but I will point out that a living mulch is really different than weeds because a living mulch is a plant that you have planted there. And it is, you got to remember that weeds are adapted to our climate and they love it here. And they are always going to win if there's a competition between a plant and a weed because the weeds have figured, I mean, they're just adapted to our climate and,
right,
and all
and
of
they
that.
They will germinate first.
And they will germinate first and they will grow first. They're usually fast growing. So weeds are really different than a crop that you plant. And so if you are going to try a living mulch, don't think that weeds are just a replacement for that because they're not. And so let me get on my soapbox here. Anybody who's ever been to my garden, they always say, oh, how can you possibly weed all of this? And I say, well, you know, I don't spend very much time weeding because I have I'm very adamant about not letting weeds go to seed in my garden. I go into people's gardens and after the plants are big enough that they can outcompete the weeds, they say, you know, it's really not a big deal at this point. But I see the chickweed that's gone to seed and I see all of the other weeds that are gone to seed and I say, you're just planting those weeds for next year. And I don't ever let that happen. And so as a result, I don't have a lot of weeds in my beds. Now, if you already have a lot of weeds that have gone to seed in your beds, it's going to take a couple years to diligently pull them and diligently keep weeds from going to seed. But you can get to the point where you don't have a lot of weed problems if you work on it. So any other thoughts on weeds, Michelle?
Well, I have tried a little bit of using the corn gluten meal after pulling the weeds. Mm-hmm. And then because that's supposed to keep the new seeds from germinating.
Exactly. It's an anti-germination thing or whatever.
So how does that work? I mean, what is it, a powder? What is it?
It's like cornmeal.
It looks like cornmeal.
Okay.
Yeah. And you just sprinkle. The trouble is getting the right amount because you don't want so much that you're not going to be able to germinate seeds in there next season.
Gotcha.
So that is what's actually kept me from using it because I'm hesitant to put it on a place that next year I may want to have the seeds germinate because it's an inhibitor. So, but there are some situations that people have used it successfully. I just don't have a lot of personal experience with it. I suppose it would also, people talk about cornmeal being really good for slugs. I think, Joni, you have. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, are you doing double duty? If you put corn gluten on
maybe
for
so.
Inhibiting weed germination, maybe you are helping your slug situation too. I don't know.
Well, with the cornmeal, you're supposed to put it in a container and lay it on its side.
Oh, so that
the slugs will climb in there.
Okay.
All
right. Okay.
Won't climb out.
All right. So the other thing I wanted to say about weeds is, so chickweeds are, and some of those are ones that you can control in your bed, but dandelions, that's a different story, because dandelions are wind-blown seeds. And so most of us in a week or so here, we're going to see snow flying around the dandelion seeds. And they go everywhere because wind blows them in. And so that's one that it's really hard to control here. And the key with that, my experience is that you just pull them when they're young. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's another reason to get out there and do it. And, you know, I don't do weed pulling like I'm going to go out and pull weeds. No, more mine is more like when I'm in my garden doing whatever, anything from harvesting to checking on the plants. I just pull a few weeds here and make sure it's clean, and then I go someplace else the next hour or day or whatnot. So, so weed pulling doesn't have to be such a horrible experience, I don't think, but that's my opinion.
And it's easier to get them out if the soil is moist.
And after a rain.
After a rain.
After a rain. Don't go when it's dry or, you know, after a water, too, after they're deeply watered.
And then, Mardell, do you compost your weed
material? I do. If they don't have any weed seeds, but I'm really careful to not put weeds that have seeds in them in my compost because my compost's not a hot. So if you have a hot compost, then those weed seeds will get composted, but mine's not. So, but I do throw weedy material, you know, the plant material into my compost. Mm-hmm. So, okay, enough about weeds.
All right.
Another question we got is, my spinach is going to seed. If I cut it off, will I get another crop?
Well, once it started to flower, it never seems to produce very well when it comes back. But that's not always, you know.
I've not always found that to be the case. Sometimes I have, and sometimes I haven't. So I don't know. Last year, I actually grow spinach really early. I plant it in early April in my hoop house. And last year, I had the spinach that I started in early April still producing in August.
Wow.
And that was by just cutting it off and letting it come up. Now, some of them did go to seed, and I cut those off. And I don't particularly mind eating spinach that's gone to seed
if it's
not bitter.
Right. So. Yeah. Well, that's what goes into my pesto.
So how do you do that?
I go around and with my scissors, and I snip all the tops off of the spinach.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else that's a little bit long in the tooth, and some of that chickweed, and I throw it in the blender with
just other, like pesto, you would do other pesto,
just any other pesto, and we call it bumbleweed pesto, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah,
you know, one of the things that I in looking up this question, I wanted to find out what the experts have to say about this, and 14 hours seems to be the magic number when spinach is going to bolt. 14 hours of light is what I read on a couple of different sites. So I looked up for Haynes, when do we get 14 hours of light? Well, April 9th to September 2nd, we have, in between that time, we have more than 14 hours of light. So that would explain
why the whole growing season.
It's the whole growing season. And it would explain why most of us have trouble with spinach bolting. Is because we have 14 hours of light during all that time. But it also explains why there is no question that the best spinach crops are in early season, like in April, and I plant in August again, and I get my good spinach crop in very, very late. Because spinach will tolerate freezing temperatures. I've had it freeze, go all the way down into the 20s. So that's one thing to know about spinach, is do it early, plant it late, and you will have your best spinach crop. So
do we have time for
one more question quickly?
Okay, I have tiny little holes in my baby plants. What is it?
Oh, it's hard to tell, but it's probably baby slugs eating baby plants. It's probably what it is.
Yeah, I've had the same thing, and I've found the slugs.
So it's time to get the sluggo out, guys. That's what I do. I just did it yesterday. I put those sluggo pellets on now, and if you do that every year, you're going to knock your population down. Won't take it away completely.
Can you get those locally?
You can, or at least you could last year.
And that's the iron.
It's the iron. Yep.
Product, not the chemical one.
Exactly, yeah. And so it's not harmful to plant or to animals, and it works within an organic
formula.
Yeah, that's right. So, and speaking of slugs, I'll say one other thing, that there is a possibility that you could have flea beetles. They also put tiny little holes in plants. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what flea beetles we might have here, which I haven't been successful doing that yet. But I know that we have some in Alaska. I'm not sure what we've got here. So, you know, you can't certainly make a diagnosis without seeing seeing plants and seeing the conditions, but it's probably slugs. And speaking of slugs, if we have anybody out there who likes to do research on gardens and whatnot, you could be a hero of Haynes Gardeners. There is a slug that, or there's a nematode that is harmful to slugs, and it basically kills slugs. And I have been researching, I have been not spending a lot of time, but I've been trying to find out the information on this. I've read about it in a couple different sources. And the one place that I know that talks about it is BioBest. And I've read it about it in other places. So it is out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that could be a huge help to us here in Haynes. If we could get a nematode in our soils that battled slugs, we would all be very happy.
Very happy. Another thing to use is ground up eggshells around your plants, and that'll keep the slugs from climbing over them.
Yeah, I've had I've had minimal success with that, but diatomaceous earth, some people say too. So we will talk about slugs. I know we're going to get another slug question in. Slugs and root maggots is what we will talk about again, I'm sure. But I did want to mention that about slugs, and that's people think of slugs being a problem later on in the season, but the truth of the matter is that many of us have problems early in the season too. So, so send us questions and information if you have information that you want to share with us as well to garden@khns.org, and that's Skagway as well as Haynes.
All right. So, well, thank you so much. It's always enjoyable to have a garden conversation.
Yeah, it is. As gardeners, we can talk about gardens for hours.
I know, I lose track
Joni
of time.
Joni keeps us limited to 15 minutes, though. So.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joni.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.